Welcome to a special edition of Two Sports Nuts. John Mulhern being joined, as always, by Jerome Schell. And today, we are pleased to bring back for his second season recap the now Big Ten Hockey Coach of the Year, head coach of the Penn State hockey team, Guy Gadowski. And first of all, Coach, congratulations on the achievement and overall for the successful season.
Well, thanks. As far as that achievement goes, I mean, that is totally a program award. It's always a team award and what players exceed expectations. But in this case, I'm certain that it has to do with the whole program. I mean, we had a lot of success with season tickets. We had a lot of success with student body tickets sold out in 3 minutes. We had just a phenomenal atmosphere in the building, and everything the players did to exceed expectations was fantastic. But thank you very much.
Coach, dive a little bit more into that home ice advantage that you just talked about. The war zone, we've talked about. The student section's about 1,000 students. They sell out. They make great signs. They really get the atmosphere going. But one of the big things that we noticed looking at the record is how successful you guys were at home this year versus being out on the road. Success in both places, of course, but you really created a home ice advantage between the students and the alumni and the players getting used to being in that Pagula Ice Arena.
They do an amazing job, and it not only makes it fun, I mean, the games are really fun to attend, largely because of the roar zone, the student section, that they're always dancing or singing or doing something. I mean, they really are cool. It makes it a lot of fun, but it's really motivating too. Like, I think our guys get really motivated by it, and they draw a lot of energy from them. When you talk about a home ice advantage, some people think it's just all in people's heads. I mean, I really think in this case, the roar zone, especially the overall atmosphere at Pagula Ice Arena, is a big reason for the success that we have. I think it's phenomenal.
Does it help that it was the first season where it was actually just a season of hockey? It wasn't first season D1, first season in Pagula. It was finally a normal season.
Yeah, I think that helped a lot in a number of ways. I mean, the first year, we tried very hard to stay in the present, but it seemed that there was always people talking about what's happening in the future. Right from the start of the season last year, it was, boy, can't wait to get in the arena. That's going to be unbelievable. Oh, can't wait for opening night. That's going to be really cool. Oh, the Big Ten is starting. What's that going to be like? Oh, your first Big Ten game. Oh, is there going to be a win? Like, everything was sort of geared towards looking at the future of these firsts, which was a really cool experience to be a part of. But I thought it was somewhat more difficult to stay in the present, whereas this year, we've been through it once, and if you concentrate on the first game at hand, and then to your point also in terms of the arena, as much as we are getting better on the ice and with our systems, with our objectives, the student section was getting better too. They were brand new, so everything that they do was that much better, that much choreographed, and that much more fun. I think they both were big factors.
Last year, the running joke that we had was Bill Downey was an evil genius putting together arguably, if not the hardest graded schedule for the 2013-2014 season. This year, once again, he puts together a very competitive schedule, middle of the pack, if not top half of all of Division I hockey, but it wasn't the gauntlet of teams. But you look at the out-of-conference schedule, especially the last four home games that you guys had in October, the two against Holy Cross and two against Bentley, you seem to get a lot of momentum from the out-of-conference schedule, and not saying that it was easier or easy schedule by any stretch of the imagination. Perhaps it was more of a, look, we're a third-year team. We've had time to develop a schedule which is more in line with what our expectations are, and you guys took full advantage of it, going 5-1-2 there in the first handful of games.
I won't be insulted at all if you say it seems easier. It was easier. And with you guys joking about an evil genius, we always joke about the almanac from Back to the Future. Because when Billy was putting that schedule together, you have to look ahead so many years. But as it turned out, last year, it was actually the second hardest strength of schedule in the nation. And the reason was, Union goes on to win the national championship as well as their league. Robert Morris won their league. Boston College is Boston College. We ended up having to play them twice. One was in a tournament. One was scheduled. UMass Lowell won their league. Every single non-conference team, it seemed, won their league, and it was just amazing that way. Whereas this year, I think you're absolutely right. It was much more appropriate for where we are in our process of becoming a program that you always want to get better and better. But I think it's really important to come out and have an opportunity to play against some teams that may not be looking at winning their league right off the hop because they have this many guys returning and they're ready to go. I really feel it was a lot more appropriate for us, and I do think we gained a lot of it, not only getting to work on our systems, but a little bit of confidence. As great an experience it was last year playing the teams that we did, boy, it was tough. I mean, it was really tough for the guys to think we're going the right direction. Like, we really are. Trust us. I know we just got beat by Boston College and UMass Lowell just swept us. We didn't win a game at home against Union, but trust me, guys, we're coming the right way. It was hard that way. The coaches felt we were really improving, but I think it was difficult on the players, whereas now they could see, geez, we really are improving.
Sticking with that schedule, I want to jump ahead. Have you guys ever thought, talking with the mad scientists, of possibly putting 3 games in 3 days to prepare for the Big Ten tournament, which you have every single season?
We haven't thought of that, and partly is the goal is to get that bye, which we were one weekend away from doing, believe it or not, this year, which was phenomenal. The risk in that is that whatever team you play on that third night is probably not going to follow the same philosophy, and so you're going to end up playing an important game worth RPI points and giving away a pretty good advantage. So they could be a team that's just coming in that was on a bye weekend, and they're going to come and play a team that's already played 2-2. I think that would be really difficult. I don't know if we could possibly find some team that would be willing to do the same thing, because often in, for instance, the ECAC, the first round is a best of three, and often those do end up going three games and three nights. So maybe if we find a team that would feel the same philosophy, that would be a good idea. I got to be honest with you, that's actually a really good thought that we hadn't mulled over.
One of the things with Penn State sports in general is the fans and the alumni have a reason to believe that always expect Penn State to be challenging for conference championships, being in the top third of their conference, and six teams in the Big Ten Conference. And last year, the results in the regular season weren't exactly what you expected, falling out of sixth spot, but you end up winning a game in the tournament. This year, the way the program accelerated so fast, and as Jerome pointed out many times, the Guy Gadowski rule of three, third season, everywhere you've gone has kind of been your breakout year, and it's continued with Penn State. You ended up fourth at the end of the regular season in the Big Ten, but you talked about it. You were a weekend sweep away from Minnesota and some things falling in the right way for either A, having a bye, or B, even winning the conference. In a true, honest moment, did you expect the team to be here in the third season challenging for a championship? And is that something that as you move forward and you start to lose seniors, is that something that you can maintain over 5-10 years?
Well, that's difficult because if you look at Wisconsin, an unbelievable program with unbelievable success and tons of NHL alumni, et cetera, they even were caught with their recruiting cycle a year that they ended up being last, and no one would ever think that Wisconsin would ever be something like that. The Big Ten, it's an honor to compete against the programs that we have, and it's the great building, it's the great alumni, it's the great historic success, whether it's in national championships, league championships, and the most NHL alumni, etc. But the problem with that is that as Penn State was supposed to be the team that they could all get easy points from and then fight amongst each other, Penn State rose pretty quickly, so now you have a situation where the top four teams, which right now is 66% of the league, all ended the year within one win of each other going into last weekend. That's not a good situation for national rankings. It's a great situation for conference races and things like that, but it's really tough. So when you can get a team like Wisconsin, when they're a little bit down because of their recruiting cycle, they're still having to fight the teams that we have. In terms of whether I thought they were there, first of all, last year I thought was a tremendous year. We were last place by a long way, but I tell you what, we improved greatly, and I thought we played by far best hockey at the end of the year and beat Michigan a few times, which was phenomenal. I thought it was a phenomenal year. This year, no one thought that we would have the results that we did. I thought we'd continue to improve, but I didn't think it would be good enough to the point where we'd be challenging for a bye at the end of the year. I thought that was beyond anybody's expectations, and very happy it happened. But in this league, that's why I brought up Wisconsin. It isn't realistic to say that's going to happen year in, year out. I don't think for any program, whether you're Michigan or Minnesota.
One thing that constantly reminds us that you are still a third-year program is the way you guys perform on the road. Do you guys have any pinpoint yet on what the problems are on the road? Now 3-14 as a program on the first night, and if you look back at the Big Ten title, if you take one or two of the six games you lost on the road from January on, you could have been Big Ten champs.
Yeah, it's something that we talk about, and I've actually met with some of the players to ask what they think it is, and no one really knows. So when you ask, first of all, the answer is no, we don't know what it is, but you have to understand that we're not the only program with a home ice advantage in the Big Ten. You go play in Michigan. Michigan is an unbelievably tough place to play. We actually did win on Friday night, but they're incredibly tough to play against. In Minnesota, you talk about our home ice advantage, I think they lost one Big Ten game in 2 years at home. That's part of the allure of the Big Ten. They're great buildings, great fans, great atmospheres, and it makes it difficult. So we're certainly going to continue to work on it. I would be lying if I said, yep, this is what it is and we're addressing it, because we don't really know yet either.
A follow-up on that real quick. A lot of people, when they look at college basketball, it's always, all right, you're going to win at home, you're going to win at home. Is that kind of the same deal when it comes to college hockey, that to get a win on the road is much bigger and harder to do than it is to win at home?
It definitely is. In old conferences, if you look at the CCHA, the WCHA, where these programs were before, certainly that's not the case of a Michigan going into the 10th, 11th, 12th place teams in the CCHA that year. They were going to get those wins. And WCHA, the same thing. Minnesota and Wisconsin, when they were going into, at that time, whoever's 10th in their league, certainly they had a good chance to win. But when you put all those teams together now, it's very difficult. I've heard about the statistics of college basketball, and I don't understand the reasoning so much. I think in hockey, the atmosphere is one of them. Wisconsin and Minnesota actually is a different size ice surface than we have. So there's little nuances like that. The home record is always going to be better, but to what extent and if the magnitude is the same as college basketball, I'm not sure.
One of the things we talked about last year, and Roman, I know you and I talked about a lot during last season, was some undisciplined penalties, a lot of penalties at bad times, holding the team back during last season. But this season, if I'm going to criticize, I need to commend the team, whether it was a point of emphasis or an older team or getting used to the officials, obviously you're going to have the call here or there, the odd call. But I thought the team was very well disciplined. They didn't take a lot of the quote-unquote lazy type penalties, if you will, where they're out of position with the hooks, things like that. And all in all, the special teams came through when it needed for the most part of the year. Again, you're going to be able to go through and find examples, but the special teams and the discipline really took a step forward here over the last season.
First of all, it was a huge point of emphasis because whether it's undisciplined or as we talked last year, this was the first year that we actually had consistent refs. So before last year, we were getting reffing from club hockey refs, Division III refs, ECAC, Atlantic Hockey, CCH. It was all over the map, and we really had a tough time. Really, our players didn't know exactly what they can and can't do. To a certain extent, that's a bit of an excuse, but in reality, it's true. We didn't know, we didn't have consistency, so it was a huge point of emphasis. I feel we did get a lot more discipline, and at the same time, going through it, now having consistent reffing where your players really do have a better understanding of how you can play, finding that edge, you know, that sweet spot of aggression and discipline, I think we did a lot better job of it. So that being said, we actually took a step back near the end of the year. I thought we really focused on it at the start, and if you look at our non-conference power play opportunities, I think we were plus 12. In non-conference games, we had 12 more power play opportunities than our opponent. And then in the Big Ten, we actually ended up minus 13, which was disappointing to me. But obviously the PP finishing sixth in the nation was phenomenal, and PK was better as well. One of the big differences is last year we had zero major power plays. So we didn't have any 5-minute power plays to take advantage of it, whereas we gave up 7. And this year it was even. It was 5-5. So those factors, I think, are a big reason for jump in success. And yes, it was a huge point of emphasis, but I think we still have to get better.
Could the fact that you had a lot of guys injured late in the season have played into the penalty kill, struggling and taking so many penalties? You lost Juha for a while. You lost Holmstrom for a while. Some of your big guns that are disciplined weren't in the lineup.
So Juha, who's our leading scoring defenseman, was out the rest of the season. We got Holmstrom and Scheid back, but they really shouldn't have played in the tournament. But I commend them very much for giving it our best shot. But one of the things I think we didn't anticipate is the way we play, it's tough to play shorthanded. We really try to play a very fast, up-tempo game. And when you can't roll four lines, it really does become difficult. And I think we ran into that a little bit. So we ended up at the end playing shorthanded and then playing with guys that really shouldn't play. And then even in the last game, Mike Williamson, he didn't get a chance to finish the game. Yeah, it certainly is a factor, but that's hockey. Like, we're not the only hockey team to have to deal with that. I don't think we dealt with it great, but at the same time, those are really significant players. I mean, Eric Scheid, Taylor Holmstrom, and Luke Juha are our top offensive players, and take away Casey Bailey. So that was a big blow, but hey, we got to deal with it, and maybe that experience will help us in the future if we ever have to deal with something similar.
We'll talk about Casey Bailey in a minute. Very interesting circumstances regarding him and the program and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think if you follow a modicum of hockey outside of a little bubble, you understand what's happened with him. But one of the themes of the season for this Penn State team was coming into the year, all right, Maskov, number one goaltender, no question about it. He's the guy. He gets off to a pretty decent start. Not the best in the world, not the worst in the world, but solid. Him and McAdam comes in, he plays well. And then all of a sudden, those two guys, confidence lost, defense in front of them, whatever the situation may be. PJ Muzyko comes in, plays outstanding for a bunch of games, helps get a lot of wins in that January-February time. And then it seemed like you went from having a solid number one goaltender to either having three number ones or three 1As or something. Can you kind of take us through the goaltender situation this year?
Sure. You know, you surmise it pretty well. That is what happened. And I think from last year, the results that Matt Scoff received, and as well as how he works and how he's thought of as a teammate, I mean, he really was the undisputed number one. He was the only guy that won games last year, and he deserves it. And he came in, and you're right, he had a very solid start. And then to defend him a little bit, there's no goaltender, or very rarely does a goaltender go the entire season lights out. There are going to be some games where he gets pulled. But what happened was, to their defense, when they did get pulled, and I just think back to one weekend, Northern Michigan weekend, the first night, one of of our goaltenders was in. I don't know if it was Scoff or McAdam, and we were down 4-1. And we told them to try as much to get the team going as anything, and it worked. And we came back and won it. And then the same thing happened the next night to the other goalie. So we were down 4-1 twice, came back and won it. And then PJ comes in and does that, which is miraculous. He certainly deserves another start, which he got. And I believe at that time it was Vermont at Wells Fargo, which was at the time ranked in the top 14 or something like that.
We just
and
figured
he that
to
as
get
well.
Everybody a start there because he had started Scoff and then McAdam. We just thought his music was turned.
It wasn't his turn. It was that he really deserved it and he earned it. And he ended up running with it. He just played so well. When you think of it, it's a good problem to have. But at the same time, it does yield who's your number one. And unfortunately, it is much easier. I'll sort of quote Coach Red Berenson said, I am a one goalie guy. It's just we never had one goalie take it. And that's sort of what happened with us. We had three guys that played solid and then one that wasn't supposed to came out and really went gangbusters when we needed it and deserved the starts. I'm definitely not saying that's going to be the story next year.
Looking towards next year, you lose PJ Musico, you have two guys. Do you have an idea who's going to be the number one yet, or are you looking for other personnel to bring in?
We'll definitely bring in another goaltender, but as far as the number one goes, I'm hoping that both Matt Scoff and Eamon McAdam have a great summer and get confident and better and are ready. It's a mindset to me that one of the guys is going to say, look, I'm going to take this. I am going to play consistent and put up the numbers, and I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it'll be both, but they're certainly both going to get their opportunity.
Sounds like a definite open competition for the goaltending situation for next year. And first of all, we should mention the record this year. The team, unbelievable wins versus last year. They finished 18-15-4 overall, 10-9-1 in conference, 13-2-3 at home. So we talked about that, 4-9 on the road. Again, something we had talked about, but just a huge leap in terms of wins, not only in the conference, but also over a year. A lot of positives for this team after the season's over. We already mentioned you were the Big Ten coach of the year, so congratulations on that again. Casey Bailey was named to the All-Big Ten first team, more on him in a second. Scott Conway, All-Big Ten freshman team. The accolades just start rolling in, and there's a release on GoPSUSports.com talking about all the guys. David Goodwin, Taylor Holstrom, Nate Jensen, Luke Juha, Patrick Caldice, and PJ Musico all got awards. And then you throw on top of that academic All-American. It's always kind of been the theme with Penn State Athletics specifically is, look, we want to have good performance on the ice, which we had, and we want to have good performance in the classroom, which also, with all the All-Americans that were named, was a very successful year as well.
I'm glad you brought that up because it is a big goal of our program and we recruit. We make sure that high academic achievers are a big part of this program and the culture and remain that way. And that's something we are very proud of. I think we had 19 of our 26 were over 3.0, which I think is phenomenal. So I'm glad you brought it up. It's something we're proud of and something that our guys actually are very proud of as well. As far as the accolades, I think that any time that you have a team that really exceeds expectations, they're going to come in. And I'm very proud of the entire team in general. And it's nice to see, largely due to the team's success, that some of our individuals, you mentioned Scott Conway and Casey Bailey specifically, getting all league mentions. I think it is a great reflection of the entire team.
We mentioned it a minute ago. We'll get to it. Casey Bailey is the first Nittany Lion to sign with an NHL team. He's up in Toronto. Can you talk about how much that affects the program recruiting-wise going forward? And for the people that don't understand, how a junior can leave for the NHL?
It's a little different, I guess, in college hockey. So to answer your second question first, guys can play drafted. So it's not only free agents like Casey, but you can get drafted players. And you've seen it. Michigan just recently, Winnipeg Jets just signed Kopp, their captain, who is a junior as well. And certainly it only happens to the best of the best, but it does happen. When you say talk about what the effect this is going to have on recruiting, short term, obviously, to lose one of the top goal scorers in the nation that you expect to be coming back is not good for the short term, but it's really good for the long run. And I think for us, it's even more important because part of the question that we got from recruits that decided not to come to Penn State was, A, I don't want to lose for 4 years, and B, you don't have any NHL alumni. That's where I want to get. How do I know that this program is capable of achieving that? And this was another thing that was a checklist of ours that we wanted to have happen. By no means did we ever think it was going to happen in the first 3 years at all. But as it has, like I said, not great for the short term, really, really good for the long run, because now we can always point to anybody that had any questions of whether we are capable of developing NHL players here. The answer is now yes.
It goes back to the idea of that if you play well enough, no matter where you are, whether it's Division III, Division I, over in Europe, NHL scouts will go out and they will find players to fit in. And we talked about it before, but certainly congratulations to Casey Bailey getting up with Toronto Maple Leafs. Made his debut about a week and a half ago now. Actually, plus one. Didn't get a point. Sam Carrick got his first NHL goal, and I only mention him because he actually played out here in Idaho for half a season a couple of years ago. So a Penn State-Idaho connection. We mentioned some recruiting going forward. Your first official recruiting class leaves this year with, I guess, 7 or 8 seniors leaving the team. I'm sure new fresh recruits are coming in. As you now get into this cycle, we've talked about it a little bit. How do you balance, and obviously we don't need state secrets here, but how do you try and balance the number of players leaving versus the numbers of players that are coming in so that you at least have some sort of a balance going forward with the team?
When we sat down, when our staff first came to Penn State, that's something that we looked at and we had a plan, and then soon we realized that as much as you plan, it's very difficult, it's almost impossible to plan 4 years down the road. So we do recruit that way and we look at what we need 4 years down the road, except whether it's something like a Casey Bailey signing or a Jonathan Milley, his body due to injuries can't play. There's always things that happen that you have to adjust and call an audible. And so we did have a plan to start to try balance out our classes, and that's something that was difficult to do at the start, but we certainly realize that how you start the program is going to affect things. You want to recruit 18 guys and full scholarships all right away, and you're going to build, and then 4 years later start over again. That just doesn't make sense. So you sort of have to steal from the present to feed the future, and that's sort of what we've been doing. But as I said, there's things that come along like Casey Bailey or Jonathan Milley, and you have to adjust, and that's what we're doing. So it's not that I'm being coy and not giving the trade secrets. It's just that because so many things can happen, you really have to switch midstream, and we're just doing the best we can.
One of those audibles you had to call, at least from John and my perspective, we both thought that Tommy Olczyk was gone after this season, and he decided to implement his fifth year of eligibility. Can you walk us through that? There were a lot of articles that I didn't know until senior weekend.
And it's actually something that we weren't positive either, because you have to remember that we are anticipating how many people leave and how many that we're going to replace. And because of a Casey Bailey situation, it opens up a spot and it allows us for Tommy Olczyk to come back, which we're very grateful for because he's just been so important to this program. You did mention the class. This was our first class, and I have to say, I hope people remember them so much because these were the guys that I mentioned before, recruits that said no. A lot of the answers we got were, we just don't want to lose for 4 years, and that was really the perception, that we were going to get killed, not just lose, but like lose badly. You got to remember, when they committed, we weren't in the Big Ten. We were a club team. They had to play a year of club hockey. We didn't have a Pagula Ice Arena. There wasn't even a shovel in the ground, and everybody talked about the Big Ten is going to happen, but it really hadn't yet. All those great things that we now see, these players, they had a lot of faith in what was going to happen, but mostly importantly in themselves, that, hey, I know everybody thinks we're going to get crushed for 4 years, but we're not. We're going to change that, and we're going to do great things, and I think they did. I just want to throw that out because I think they deserve so much credit. But anyway, so as things happen, Tommy Olczyk, because he's a great student, he has an opportunity to take some grad school courses and get his grad school started, is able to play for us, and we're very, very grateful that that was able to happen.
I'll kind of piggyback on what you said about that first recruiting class, and obviously we're looking way into the future here, and I don't know what the plans are. I'll be the first one to say that I think when Penn State hockey finally gets some sort of Hall of Fame or some sort of banner, I really do think that that first recruiting class should be in as the class of 2015, and everybody's name should be listed. Like you said, when nobody knew what was going on, they all kind of jumped into the pool, took the risk, and obviously they'll come out with the camaraderie, but also some of the results. They've got some big wins over some big schools, and well as some good degrees to go with it at the end of the day. Two things I want to finish up on. Arizona State joins and jumps up to Division I. I give credit for Penn State to that because they actually showed the blueprint on how you can go from a club team up to Division I in today's economics. And then secondly, you're joining the coaches' caravan for the third year going around the tri-state area. What about that coaches' caravan really kind of helps lift the program up, or why is one of the things that Penn State's decided to do this over the last few years?
First, I really appreciate you saying that about the class of 2015, and I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. I think it's sort of lost on the faith that these guys had in themselves and how much they meant. And really, this wasn't supposed to happen. We were not supposed to have these wins. We were not supposed to be at this level. Unbelievable job by them. Unbelievable. So I'm glad to hear you say that. I really do believe that this is a real accolade to the program and to Penn State University. The reason being is they were right about everything. They knew that college hockey would be taken very well, that it would be a sense of a lot of pride. And if you just come to the atmosphere of Pagula Ice Arena, you can see it. But as well as things that you can't see, finances, like how well we're doing financially has been incredible. How our alumni have gotten behind it, how much great exposure that is getting the university. I give Penn State a ton of credit, and the administration and all the people that work so hard hard to make this happen, because it really has come out in terms of financially, in terms of pride, in terms of exposure. It's just been a wonderful thing. So I do think that the administration here deserves to be very proud of what's happening at Arizona State. And I do know by talking to them that eyes were on us to see how it was going to happen. And if Penn State didn't have the success, both in terms of atmosphere, pride, I guess on-ice results, and financial, that Penn State deserves to be very proud of themselves. As far as the caravan is concerned, I hope it adds in terms of what people think of Penn State hockey, but really the reason I do it is a nice little coaching clinic for me. It's a lot of fun to sit with these amazing coaches from Penn State and pick their brains on things that they do in terms of managing teams, recruiting, getting the right student athlete to fit at Penn State. I mean, it's really been a lot of fun. They're really good people and really good coaches, and I learn a lot, and that's really why I do it.
We look at this season, and we were hoping that the rule of threes would come into effect, and it did. What are the expectations for next year?
Just because we had the results that we had this year, we're not going to change our plan. We said that there's no way we're going to look at any goals until we have a cycle through it. In terms of a result, goals, we don't have any. Like, it's not, oh, now we did this, and now this is what we're shooting for. We've had a checklist that we keep very close that even the guys see in the locker room of what we're going to achieve in the future. We just don't put a date on that, and that's how the coaching staff is looking at next year. It's very clear the areas that we have to improve on and what we can control that we have to elevate. And some of that is on-ice systems-based and objectives-based, and some of it's culture-based. But it's a matter of making sure that we improve those areas. But we're very careful not to say, boy, if we don't get X number of wins, that we didn't have a successful season. It's easy to stray away from that. Like during this year, I think we did a pretty good job of not, oh, boy, look at our start. Well, now this is what we want to do. We didn't do that. We really approached every week. This is what we have to work on. This is what we have to get better at. And then as obviously we look now, the season's over, we look back and see how far we've come, and that's really how we're going to look at next year as well.
Coach, I could talk to you for another hour and a half. Some great information. I have one more question I thought of. You've been making the tour of the Tri-State area in terms of going to big arenas as well as Fargo, up to New York, Madison Square Garden, yeah. Council Center. Yeah. Any arenas on the schedule for next year? I know the schedule's not out yet. If you don't know, that's fine. Are there any plans to go to a big arena next year as well?
Yeah, and I think it is announced, I can say it, we're going back to Madison Square Gardens, and actually it's going to be a doubleheader with us against Michigan with men's basketball.
So that's right, I remember
very,
that.
Very cool. I mean, I think that's awesome. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be great for our alumni in that area, and we will also be again at Consol Arena in Wells Fargo.
Awesome, great to hear that. And again, it gives them something to shoot for or changes it up a little bit. I think it's a good recruiting tool for the program more than it is necessarily for individual players. It gets the program out there on a bigger stage as well.
It's been great here, obviously, the reception that we get in Pool Ice Arena, but one of the problems, I guess it's a good problem, but one of the problems is we hear often from our alumni that can't ever come see a game. They talk about it's such a difficult ticket to get. Well, it's nice when we do have a lot of alumni, obviously, in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and a lot of our alumni in the New York area as well. So sort of by us coming there, it makes it easier on them. Every time we go, I hear from alumni saying, gee, that was really nice that we got a chance to see you. We've tried to come and try to get tickets to Pagula, and it didn't happen. So very nice that we were able to come watch you play closer to us. That's part of it as well.
We appreciate your time. I know you've got 100 other things going on. Happy Easter. That's coming up this weekend as well. Again, we do appreciate the time.
Hey,
Coach Guy Gadowski.
Oh, I appreciate it. Happy Easter to you guys as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Guy. You've been listening to a special exclusive interview here on Two Sports Nuts with head coach Guy Gadowski. Very successful Penn State season. Once again, I'd like to thank Guy Gadowski for coming on. Check out our regularly scheduled show on our Two Sports Nuts page. So this is John Mulhern for Jerome Shaw and Guy Gadowski saying thanks for listening to Two Sports Nuts.